We're going to continue this morning our emphasis on prayer. And I believe it's entirely appropriate, rather than just preaching about missions, that we encourage our hearts in one of the greatest sources of strength for missions that we have available to us. I've been reviewing and reading through a number of articles and books on prayer that have been an encouragement to me over the years, and looking again at some of the articles that I've read and books that I've read in the past, and I've got a big pile of books I want to try to read while I'm recovering from my surgery that I hope will encourage my heart and give me things that I can give to you about this subject of prayer. But I want to remind you of the four basic propositions that we presented last week, and then we'll build on those as we turn to our text this week. One of the most influential and helpful little books that I've gotten over the years is a little book that's out of print by an evangelist named Jack Taylor, who wrote this book some 20 years or so ago, called Prayer, Life's Limitless Reach. And what an encouragement the thesis of that book is. And these ideas were developed from having read that book. The first is that no believer's spiritual life will rise to stay above the level of his praying. No believer's spiritual life will rise to stay above the level of his praying. People who believe that discipline will substitute for devotion, who believe that knowing what's in the Bible, going to church, and seeking to live by standards alone will do it, have missed the point. Prayer defines our relationship with God, and our relationship with God defines our spiritual life. And no believer's spiritual life will rise to stay above the level of his praying. A second thought is this: no church's ultimate effectiveness will rise to stay above the level of its corporate prayer life. No church is ever going to be more effective than it prays, because our ultimate effectiveness grows out of and is the fruit of our prayer life. We can learn to be efficient and get things done right, but we will never be effective in getting the right things done right unless we pray. Prayer does not prepare us for the great work. Prayer is the great work. It's what puts us in touch with the power of creation, the power of heaven. A third idea is this: no church's corporate prayer life will be greater than the personal prayer lives of those who make up its constituency. The prayer life of this church consists of the prayer life of the individuals who make up this church. And the question you and I need to ask ourselves today is this: if everyone in this church prayed the way I pray, what kind of a prayer life would this church have? If everybody here prayed the way you pray, what kind of a prayer life would this church have? I remember when my grandmother went to be with the Lord in the early 80s. Such a prayer warrior she was. How convicted I was that our entire family was going to suffer a loss of prayer support because she was taken home, and that some of us were going to have to significantly increase our praying and the earnestness with which we appeal to the Lord if we were to even break even on the protection of heaven that we had because of her prayers. For she prayed hours every day for all of us. And I wonder how many of us today are depending on the prayers of others to get the job done here. How often we use "I'll pray for you" as a greeting and have no intention of praying. Or how often we say, "I want you to be praying for me about," and then we tell our problem and we really have no thought in mind of really expecting prayer. We just want the other person to know about the problem. You understand what I'm saying? Praying on an individual basis determines the prayer life of the entire congregation. And then there's a final proposition. No believer's prayer life will rise to stay above the level of his own personal, regular, daily time of worship with God. Our prayer life is the key to our personal relationship with the Lord. And the kind of personal relationship we have with God will be determined by and will grow out of the prayer life that we have. Now, keeping those thoughts in mind, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 33. And listen to this second message that God brought to Jeremiah while he was shut up in prison. And I think of how often God brings His Word to those who are in various prisons. The prison of sin. The prison of a dark and depressing culture. The prison of deceit and deception by false philosophies. I think about the prison that America is building around itself through the indulgence of materialism, the hedonism of personal pleasure and enjoyment, and how the prosperity of our nation is destroying our character, and how we've come to the place where the very thing that made it possible for us to have the freedom and prosperity that we enjoy is going to be destroyed by that prosperity and that freedom very soon. We're in prison, the prison of sin. And God would bring His Word to us as He did to Jeremiah, I believe. In verse 1 of Jeremiah 33, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Look at that verse again. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Father, we know that those of us who believe in God, those of us who have faith, must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, it's easy for us to come to doubt because of our poor praying about Your good will toward us and promising to answer. We put far too much focus on ourselves and how we pray, and not nearly enough focus on the One to whom we should be praying. And I pray, Lord, that You would use these verses and simple thoughts today to build our faith, that we might indeed receive the grace that will come through prayer, that we might be comforted today, that we might have needs met, that we might be challenged to our responsibilities to fulfill the Great Commission, that we might truly believe not only that You are a great, mighty, and wonderful God above all else, but that You are also a rewarder of them that diligently seek You. Lord, help us today to begin a new phase of diligently seeking the Lord in our lives. Give me, I pray, both physical and spiritual power this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Like many Christian homes, we have verses of Scripture around our home. I've told you about those before in various illustrations, and some of the more precious ones are those that remind us of God's goodness to us. Some of our dear friends down in the Dominican Republic gave to us a verse in Spanish. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Everywhere we look around us, we can see God's majesty and God's power. And if we will respond to God's revelation of Himself in those simple ways, He will reveal Himself even more. And there's a wonderful promise that's revealed here in Jeremiah 33 that's reiterated in many other portions of the Scripture. Here Jeremiah was in prison, and the Lord came to him and spoke to him. And He said, "If you'll call on Me, I'll answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you've never dreamed of." Perhaps this is a quotation some have suggested of Isaiah 48 and verse 6. Isaiah 48 and verse 6 does not appear in our Bibles in exactly the same words, but the idea is similar. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. In other words, God reveals things to us that we would never know any other way than His showing them to us. And He reveals those things to us from His Word in response to prayer. Now, for many years here at Faith, we have talked about the importance of the Word of God in our lives. And we reiterate that almost every week. Hardly a message goes by that we don't drive home the importance of regularly being in the Word of God in order to hear something from the Lord and to have our hearts strengthened. And yet I know for sure that there are some who have yet to discipline themselves in developing a regular pattern of reading the Word of God and searching it for instruction from the Lord. That's the very beginning of our spiritual maturity. It's how we grow and learn to feed ourselves and have from God what we desire and what we need. But even those here who've developed a pattern of regular Bible reading need to work on the matter of prayer. Theology books tell us that there are two means of grace, or two channels through which God communicates His grace to us. And those are the Word of God and prayer. Even in the matter of salvation, we know that's true. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And those verses teach us that we believe the message of the Bible, and then we confess it in prayer. When we're communicating the message of the gospel to someone in seeking to lead them to the Lord, what we try to help them understand is this. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came to die for us, showing God's love to us in that way. And if we will put our faith and trust in that message, repenting of self-reliance and the sin that it produces, then we can have salvation. And a person says, well, I believe that. And we always encourage them then to pray and receive the Lord in prayer, knowing that the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. So believing what the Bible teaches and praying to God is how a person gets saved. It's also how a Christian grows. The sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word that continues to work in our life that we read about in Romans 6, 7, and 8 and so many other places in the Scripture clearly comes to us as we believe the Bible and acknowledge our belief of it in prayer. When we studied through the Psalms, one of the things that we saw over and over as the psalmist prayed was first his praise to God, which enabled him to believe so that he could trust for the future. That formula is seen repeatedly throughout the Bible, especially in the Psalms. And I wonder if we follow that pattern in our own prayer life. We often launch right into our requests, asking God to fill the list and to give us the basket full of all the things that we want, like we were at the grocery store. But I wonder how much time we spend praising God and calling on Him. Here in Jeremiah, the Lord reminds us of who He is. And He says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name, God the creator of everything, God who formed everything, He's the one that we're to pray to. And sometimes our God is so small in our minds because we only see Him in the confines of our own imagination rather than in the reality of His description that we find in the Word. He made everything. I wouldn't recommend that you seek the will of God from the Word of God by indiscriminately turning in your Bible and beginning to read whatever you find there. But I would recommend that if you want to verify what I am suggesting to you today, that you can just turn to any place that you want to in the Psalms and begin reading and see what the Lord says. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I just opened the book to the Psalms and there was a prayer. And it's a prayer based on the psalmist's praise of God, acknowledgement of who He is, and his appeal for that God to deliver him from his difficulties. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. And then he goes on in that Psalm 64 to describe who God is. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. The Psalms are the hymn book of Israel, but they are also the prayers of praise. And when our heart cries out in prayer, we praise Him before we pray to Him to ask Him for things. And I know much good teaching has been given to us over the years to let us know that prayer is asking. And truly it is. But prayer is also praising. And when we cry unto Him, we ought not to just cry unto Him, for that's what the words call unto me mean. We should call unto Him as He is in the Bible. The Word of God and prayer are the keys. We've been singing it since we were little children. I think maybe we ought to sing it as an adult congregation sometimes and not just teach it to the kids. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Remember that? And the kids would rise up as tall as they could. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, 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 and then they get down real low to the floor. Maybe we ought all to do that sometime. We're not going to do it this morning, so you can relax. But I'll tell you what, we need to remember that. That's not just a message for children. It's a message for everybody. Somebody said one time, how do you find things to preach on? I only have one message. Read your Bible and pray. Every message I preach, that's what I preach. Just trust God. Read your Bible and pray. Stay in touch with Him. If you can learn to do those two things, you'll be all right. You'll have everything that you need to do God's will for your life. You'll be strong. You'll be fed. You'll be able to encourage and strengthen others. Why? Because you'll learn things from God that you can never, ever learn any other way. Is that not what He says to us in Jeremiah 33:3? He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Every one of us in here that has problems because we don't know what to do. It wouldn't be a problem if we did. You see? We're faced with a difficulty or a circumstance in life. Listen, we take it as an exciting challenge when we know the answer, don't we? We have a problem, and that problem oppresses us because we don't know what to do about it. And every one of us faces that situation regularly. Our children face challenges, or misbehavior is expressed by them in some way. And we think, now what do I do? How do I handle this situation? Or there's an injury, or there's a financial setback, or there's some difficulty that comes into the family. Husbands and wives that have conflicts between themselves. Why do they have those conflicts? Because it hurts and they don't know what to do to make it stop hurting. If we as adults could learn to cry out to our Heavenly Father the same way our children do. Help. Ever see one of your children get hurt? And they want to come to you and they want you to help them? Why? They trust you. They know that you know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, they know you love them and you'll find out what to do. And so it is in our lives with the Lord. If we could just learn to cry out to our Heavenly Father, believing that He would answer and that He would show us things that we don't know. You see, the reason our problems seem so oppressive is because we don't know what to do about them. And we always look for an answer that's as big as the problem. Wouldn't it be awful if you had to carry around a key to your front door that was as big as your front door? Some very simple answers can solve some very big problems. And the reason those problems seem big is because we can't find the key. Now, how do we find the key? We find it in prayer. We've got it right here. We know it's here somewhere. And if we'll just say, oh God, show me the answer. Lord, show me what you want me to do. When's the last time that you really cried out to the Lord in desperation? Neither know we what to do, like the Israelites cried, but our eyes are upon Thee. We're going to trust You, Lord. I don't know where You want me to go. I remember some of the decisions that I made early in my Christian life. I had no idea how to even find answers in the Bible in those days. I remember my wife and I came that close to joining the Methodist Church after I got saved. My father was a Methodist preacher. I'd been raised a Methodist. I figured that's where we belonged. So, got saved, came home. Visited the church. Didn't feel comfortable there. Wasn't getting fed there. Wasn't sure what was going on there. But I figured that's where I needed to be because that's what we were. And so we talked to the pastor and he made the arrangements and we were getting ready to join. And that Sunday morning we went to church And I did not know enough Scripture to be able to know what kind of a decision to make. But we called on the Lord. Lord, if this is not Your will, stop us. Lord, help us know what You want us to do. And I had an overwhelming impression that I cannot begin to describe to you that I did not belong there. And we never went back. And God led us to a Bible-believing church where we could be fed and nurtured and encouraged. Now, it seemed like a horribly difficult decision at the time. But now it's not. We don't go through those kinds of things nearly so often because we are flooded in our minds with Bible principles that we've studied over the years. And when we pray and ask God for guidance and wisdom, and we're truly open to His will, God will give us His answer, as Jim Berg says in King James English. He gives it to us right out of the Word as He reveals to us what it is He wants us to do. Notice the demand that's given here. Call. An imperative command. It's not a suggestion. Could you and I at least take home with us today this one simple thought? Prayer is God's idea. It's not our idea. It's not something we thought up. God gave us prayer. It's His gift to us, just like His Word is His gift to us. And He tells us to pray. Prayer is not something that we eventually get to out of desperation when we've exhausted every other alternative. That's what most of us in our flesh do. Prayer is God's idea. He says, call. Its simplicity is so obvious. No elaborate process. Just cry out. I wonder sometimes if any of you have ever prayed that simple prayer that I have. Help. Help, Lord. Have you ever done that? I remember when I was a little fellow one time, I had a bicycle, and I liked to ride my bicycle out to the end of the road where we live, and they had one of the dairies in our community had built this little shed for us to wait for the school bus in, and all the kids that lived on that road would go wait in that little shed, and I'd take my bicycle out there and lock it up during the day and then ride it home in the evening. And it was the beginning of the year, and I had my new ball glove that I'd gotten for my birthday, and all my new books in my ball glove, had them under my hand, and I was riding my bike with one hand. And which was dumb. And I was going down this hill on this gravel road, and I hit a big rock, and it threw me over to the side, and I got off the edge of the road and got onto a steep, grassy hill, which was covered with dew, and I was afraid I was going to get my clothes all messed up, and then I knew I'd be in trouble with Mom, and I'd get my books all messed up, and then I'd be in trouble with my teacher, and I didn't want to mess up my new ball glove for my own sake. And so I just was debating and thinking through what I should do when suddenly I ran into a huge cedar tree and bent the fork of my bicycle and cut my leg severely. And it was bleeding horribly. And I was terrified. Now, usually, I would call for my mother when I had a little problem because she was far more comforting than Dad. But now, I had myself a serious problem. I was bleeding badly. I was in real trouble. And I cried out. I was down the hill. They were in the house. Windows closed. Cool of the fall. And I cried out, Dad! At the top of my lungs. Help! And I think those were probably the only two words I said. Dad, help. And I kept saying them until finally Dad came running down the hill. And he was on his way to work. And he stopped and scooped me up and took me back there and got a bandage on my leg so they could get me to the doctor and get me sewed up. That's what I'm talking about. You and I getting to the place in our lives where we just cry out, Father, help in some way. Now look, as we grow in our prayer life, sure, we need to learn to say things from our heart and communicate well. But I'll tell you, this whole business of prayer is rooted in calling unto Him, crying out to Him. Call unto me, He says. He doesn't say get the words right. He doesn't say pray with thee and thou. He doesn't put any of those restrictions on us. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you. Just a simple cry. And listen to the audacity of this command. Unto me. Cry out unto God. Now you think about that. Nobody else that got injured that morning had the right to cry out to my Father and call Him Dad. Just me. Because of that relationship. Unless God is your Father, you can't cry out to Him in that way. But if He is, you can and you must. There's nothing really significantly elaborate this morning. It's a very simple thing I want you to understand. You can call on your Heavenly Father. He not only invites you to, He commands you to. Call unto Me. And the immensity of this command. There is no restriction. There is no limitation. He doesn't say, call unto Me about the following things. He doesn't say, call unto Me about these kinds of problems. The rest of them, you're on your own. None of that. Call unto Me, and I will answer you. The answer is based on our obedience to His Word and the fact of our prayer to Him personally. And He will give us the grace of His response. I will answer, He says. What a tremendous, tremendous promise follows this call. And that's the dynamic of this demand. I'll respond. God says He will answer. They that would come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You and I are truly praying to God when we pray in faith, believing that He has said He would answer. Sometimes people pray to God to see if He will answer. You're not really coming to God. You're coming to someone who is a substitute in your mind for God. You see what I'm saying? But when you and I genuinely believe that He will do what He said He would do, He says, I will answer. An undeniable promise. What a tremendous truth. I will make the answer conspicuous to you, is what it literally means. I'll make the answer so obvious that you can't doubt that I've revealed it to you. I'll give you what you need. It's like an unclaimed prize that you and I have. And I'm not talking about these things we receive in the mail. I'm talking about something that God has promised to give to us. It's ours, and we've never gone to pick it up. Suppose, for example, that you were expecting something wonderful in the mail, and you had ordered something, or you'd written to a friend, and they said, well, I'll send it to you. And then you get a little notice from the post office. Everybody here has received those before. You have a package that needs to be signed for and picked up. It's down there at the post office for you right now. All you have to do is go down there and get it. Would you do it? Well, of course you would. You and I have something far greater than that, that has been promised to us by God. The answer to our questions, the answer to our needs, God's truth for our trials, Brother Tim, the things that we go through in life, which we cannot get through without His help. He will give us His truth to respond to those situations. And that's what many of us in this room need today. We need to hear from God about what it is that He would say and what He wants us to do as we face the difficulties of life. The dynamic of this demand is that He will answer. And look at the dimensions of it. Not only does He say, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, but He says, I will do it with great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty. Immense and inaccessible. Boundless in their dimensions. You and I sometimes imagine what we would like to have, and we think that's the most wonderful thing on earth. And sometimes, you know, I think we're a little bit ashamed to even ask God for things because we think it's too much to ask for. And we actually insult the character of God when we ask so small, when He's promised so big. And we think that's all it would take to make us happy. Oh, if our children had any idea what we really desire for them. They think we're trying to withhold from them that thing that would make them happiest of all when they ask some little thing that's so far below what we would do. Listen, parents, you know that if it came to it, you'd give your life for your children. And yet they sometimes think you must not care because you won't give them a second dessert. You understand? God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has already given His life for you and me. And yet we think He must not care because He won't hand over the little trinkets and toys with which we would amuse ourselves while we ignore Him. God have mercy on us. Oh Lord, if I could just have this thing, then I could be happy. Oh God, if You would just do this for me, then I could be happy. You see what's wrong with that? Everything that we ask God for, we ask for our own happiness. If we could learn to pray that God would do for us and do in us and do to us those things which we need to make us more useful to Him rather than make life more enjoyable to us, then we would begin to understand something about this great and mighty description of the things that He would give to us in answer to our prayers. Everything that we ask for is limited by the bounds of our own lusts. But God offers us the answer to our prayers in the boundlessness of His immense love. God wants to do things for you today that you can't begin to imagine. And you're not receiving them because you're not asking. You have not because you ask not. And you don't ask because I think perhaps the selfishness of the requests that we do make causes us to feel too guilty to trust Him for the requests that we ought to make. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Grace comes to us through means. Something that you've never experienced is what He means. Knowest not means something of which you have no experiential knowledge. You've never been there before. Have your kids ever come to you with a problem? Maybe it's something in their schoolwork. Maybe it's something in their lives, some relationship they're having a problem with, whatever it might be. And they are just about to give up. They think the condition is hopeless. There's no way this can't be done. This is impossible, they say to you. And you know it's not, because you've done it before. The only reason it looks impossible to them is because they've never seen the possibilities in God. They don't know how God's going to work it out. They don't know how God's going to provide. And as a result of not knowing how God's going to provide and not having the experience in that He has provided, they wonder if He can. And so do you and I. And then you sit down with them when they ask you and you show them the answer and they think, well, how about that? There's nothing to it. You see? Have you ever called on a friend to help you remember a step in a recipe? Or have you men ever called on a co-worker to help you understand a process in the job that you're supposed to be doing? Or whatever it might be. It seems like an insurmountable task. But when you call on the Lord and He gives you wisdom, you don't know the number of times that someone has come to me as pastor and begun to tell me about a problem in their life. And while I'm listening to their problem, I am praying, Lord, I have no idea what to say to this person. Lord, I have no idea what to tell them. And as I listen, God begins to open some Scripture to me and reminds me of His truth. And as I give them that Scripture and the light comes on, I think, isn't God good? And I know that if God will give me Bible answers for others' problems, He'll give me Bible answers for my own problems too. And what I want you to understand today is that God gives you and me a command as well. He was giving it to the children of Israel through Jeremiah. And He was giving it to Jeremiah himself as he languished in the prison of his oppression. But this is a promise for all time and eternity. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's the command that God gives you today. And what will you do with it? A demand with the dynamic of the Creator behind it and dimensions that you and I could not begin to imagine. I wonder how many of you today have spent, in fact, wasted much of your week trying to do things God never intended for you to do because you're trying to work it out without Him. Don't go through another week trying to deal with things in your own strength, in your own power. God wants you to pray. God wants you to call on Him Now, if you've never called on Him for salvation, I promise you, in the authority of the Word of God, you do that and He'll save you today. And Christian people, just like you called on Him one day because you believed what His Word said and you received Him in prayer, you can believe what His Word says and receive any blessing He has for you in prayer as well. If you'll but call on Him, He'll answer you. That's the promise of God. And that goes beyond anything that you and I could ever do to help ourselves. Father, thank You today for the wonderful promise that if we will call, You will answer. We know that the reason we don't have the answers to prayer that we so desperately need are not because Your arm is shortened or Your ear deaf that You cannot hear. Lord, we know that we don't have the answers because we do not call. We trust ourselves and therefore we don't call on the God in whom we should be trusting. Forgive us, Lord, for our prayerlessness, for our lack of trust, our lack of belief. Some here are not praying because they don't know what the Bible says, even about praying. Some here are reading the Bible and then trusting their own ability to apply it and their own power to obey it. And others, Lord, are beginning to learn to pray because they're claiming the promises of the Word. Souls could be saved. Finances could be provided. Missionaries could be sent. Sicknesses could be healed. Broken families could be mended. Miracles could be worked in our midst if we would but call so that You would answer and reveal to us, make conspicuous to us those great and mighty things which we've never experienced before. Lord, let us believe this today because the Word says it. And take Your Word now and by the Holy Spirit's power, reveal it to our hearts that we might claim its promises. In Jesus' name, amen.